Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Born of the Spirit. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Friends, this morning we sang a song, hymn 289, On Pentecost They Gathered, and there was a line in there that I heard it at 8 o'clock, and it's just been running through my head all morning. What universal message, what great good news was here, that Christ, once dead, is risen to vanquish all our fear. And I think about how it must have felt to be when you first heard that for the very first time on Pentecost, when the people first heard that in their own language, and how we hear it now 2,000 years later, and it's still the same good news for us. More than 2,000 years later, the same good news for us, that Christ, once dead, has risen to vanquish all our fear. And the reality is that fear is often the source of all our sin. So it is without any fear that we are able to confess our sin together, assured that the one who died on our behalf, rose on our behalf, is with us now, loving us still. So let us pray the prayer of confession together as it is printed in your bulletin. Gracious God, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have promised the power of your Holy Spirit to be with us in all times and places. But we confess that we have chosen to seek your presence only when we are desperate. You have promised your love and kindness, but we have chosen to turn to you only when we find no comfort elsewhere. You have promised us the strength and power of your name, but we have chosen to call on you only when our resources have failed us. Forgive us, Lord, and empower us to live in the guidance, love, and power of your Holy Spirit. These and all things we pray together and in the silence of our hearts, through Jesus Christ, our risen and reigning Lord. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is it the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Our lesson continues in Acts chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Amen. And let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. May now the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may that which we take away from this day, this time, this place, bring honor and glory to you. We pray it through Christ our Lord by the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Amen. One doesn't have to be around us Presbyterians very long before they realize that we like to be in control. We like to be in control of our lives and of our environment and of our emotions. We like to plan our work and then work our plan. We tend to be a little buttoned down. We like our I's dotted, our T's crossed. As our book of church government states, our book of church government is appropriately called the book of order, that we Presbyterians like to do things decently and in order, which is reflected in nearly everything that we do, particularly in the way we worship. Unlike some traditions, we have a set order of worship, which tells us what to do, when to do it, what to say, how to say it, and we tend to follow that with only the occasional divergence of a crying baby or a bird in the sanctuary, maybe a cipher in the organ, maybe a pastor who gets lost in their order of worship. And while those kind of unplanned interruptions at times fluster us, I actually think they're very good for us Presbyterians. They remind us that despite our best efforts, we are not in control, and we don't need to be in control, particularly when it comes to the things of God and what God is doing in the world. The disciples in our opening chapter of Acts acted, I think, a lot like Presbyterians. Out of obedience to Jesus, they remained in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father had been fulfilled and the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given, an instruction we talked about last week, if you recall. This frightened, leaderless band of believers bided their time. They waited for something to happen, which is never easy for those of us who like to be in control of our circumstances, much less the control of our destinies. And yet, remembering and obeying Jesus' parting words, "John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now," they waited, they watched, they prayed, faithfully and obediently trusting God to fulfill his promise in his time, not their own. And that too sounds pretty Presbyterian to me. When in doubt, we trust God to be faithful to his promises to us. So 10 days later, they're still in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost is upon them. In the Jewish tradition, we tend to think of Pentecost as being a New Testament experience. It is, of course, but also in the Old Testament, the day of Pentecost was one of the annual festivals which celebrated the incoming of the first wheat harvest. It was a day commemorating God's giving of the law to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. And so, still early in the morning, the streets of the city are filled with people, travelers, worshipers from many nations. The disciples, however, along with others who had professed Jesus as Messiah, so let's say 120 in total, are secluded behind closed doors, bolted windows, as much out of fear as obedience, just as they had done each day since the ascension of Jesus. They gathered together to wait, to watch, to pray. And then it happened. Something totally beyond their control. The room in which they were sitting was suddenly filled with a sound like the rush of a violent wind blowing from heaven, which filled the entire house. Could it be the same wind that blew across the face of the waters on that morning of mornings at the dawn of creation? Could it be that same breath of God that filled the lungs of every living creature? This was the wind of God, once again bringing something new to life. Hearing and feeling that mighty sound, the disciples looked at one another in amazement and saw what appeared to be tongues of fire, which appeared and came to each of them. And yet, like the burning bush when Moses encountered God in the wilderness, none of them were scorched by those flames. You see, this was God doing a new thing, a miraculous thing in their midst, something completely out of their control. And then the promise of the risen Christ is fulfilled as the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and each of them began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The day of Pentecost had come, but not in the way that anyone had expected it. The promise of God was being fulfilled, but not in the way that even those who were waiting and watching and praying had planned it or scripted it. Everyone was out of control except God. And that's a very good thing. You know, being out of control every so often isn't such a bad idea, even for us Presbyterians. It was exactly because the disciples found themselves out of control that they went out onto the streets of Jerusalem and began proclaiming this good news of the risen Christ to an assembly of festival goers and each of those foreign visitors heard in their own native language. It was exactly because those disciples were out of control that they got up and went out of their comfort zones, out of their fear and hiding, and started telling people about how Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah. It was exactly because the disciples were out of control that they had the audacity to believe Jesus when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, in the Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Bearing with you this life-giving, life-changing, life-transforming message of salvation in my name. And thank God those disciples were out of control, because that empowering of the Holy Spirit is what exploded them out of that upper room, out of that cloistered room, compelling them to share the gospel message in every known part of the world until it has finally come to our hearing today. What happened to those first disciples on that first Pentecost day that caused them to so lose control? The power of God's Spirit was poured out on them. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. On the day of Pentecost, God fulfilled his promise by releasing this power of the Holy Spirit to this band of frightened, leaderless, bewildered disciples, and they were radically changed by it. They were overcome by a power greater than themselves, a power that they had waited for and watched for and prayed for. And friends, that same life-giving, life-changing, life-transforming power of God is available to you and to me still today. But God will not come where he is not welcomed. And so we too need to be about the business of waiting and watching and praying, trusting God to act in his time and in his way for his purposes. This gifting of the Holy Spirit may not come to us the way it came to others. It may not come to us in any way that we might expect. Remember, we're not the ones in control here. God is, and that's a good thing. It may not come to us with the sound of wind or flames of fire or the utterance of foreign tongues. It may not come to us the way it came to another body of believers in another time and place. It may not come to us in the way our neighbor or friend tells us that it came to him or her, and they expect that the Spirit will act in the same way with us. As Jesus tells us, we can't control the movement of the Spirit any more than we can that of the wind. Recall the word for wind, breath, spirit, in the Hebrew is ruach, in the Greek is pneuma, and all speak of the same. This is the Spirit of God breathing, blowing, moving. But the Spirit does come, will come, to those who wait for it, to those who watch for it, to those who pray for it, to those who open their hearts to it, because this is the gift that God desires to give to us. And in truth, it already has been given to us, we who have professed faith in Jesus Christ. In the opening verses of John's Gospel, recall, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. To be Christian means to have opened our hearts and our lives to the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That when we come to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, when we submit, another word for lose control too, when we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We believe in a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when we confess faith in Christ, we don't just get one or two, we get all three. We get the full Trinity, the full expression of God. And so we confess our faith in Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he enters in, he, she, it, enters into our hearts and begins a work of transformation. Pentecost doesn't speak of a self-help day, a new strategy to improve yourself. This is the way God enters into us, enters into our hearts, changes us from the inside out. This is what it means to be Christian. To be a Christian church, then, means that we are a community of believers gathered together and united by that same Spirit of Christ. We are a church. We are part of the universal body of Christ, not because we're a gathering of like-minded people. On many issues, we certainly are not. Not simply because we enjoy one another's company. Again, we mostly do, but not always. Not because we have a similar disposition towards life. Not because we have carved the name of a denomination above our doors. We are a church because the Spirit of God lives here and dwells here and works here and acts here within us and then through us, and because we pray continually for that to be. So we are bound together, like it or not, by something, by someone who's so much greater than we are. To say we are Christian, individually or collectively, is to say we are out of control, simply because by faith in Jesus Christ, we have surrendered our control to the Spirit of God, and to that we say thanks be to God. The Christian church was born on this day that we celebrate today, Pentecost. There was a change that took place that day that altered the lives of men and women, of families, of nations, that literally has changed the course of human history. No longer were those first disciples just an isolated little group of frightened individuals who dared to name the name of Jesus. After Pentecost, they were bound together as a community of faith by the uniting power of the Holy Spirit. That event so long ago was the origin of the Christian faith, not as an institution, but as a movement driven by the Spirit of Christ. Professor Hans Küng writes, "That event is more than a starting point to the first phase of its history. It is something which at any given time determines the whole history of the church and defines its essential nature." Put that another way, Pentecost didn't just happen once long ago to another group of people who have nothing to do with us. No, Pentecost is what happens again and again and again every time a heart is open, a life is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and in comes the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you were with us last week, you may recall me saying that Pentecost defines the essential nature and purpose of the church, our very reason for being. The Holy Spirit was given then and now so that we might be empowered to be a missionary society, sharing and bearing witness to the good news of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And like the disciples long ago, today we come together to worship, to wait, to watch, to pray. Like disciples long ago, today we celebrate this sacred meal, the body and blood of our Lord, and pray God's Holy Spirit to be known to us and descend upon us. Like the disciples of long ago, today, by the same Spirit of God which empowered them, we pray that we too might be sent out from this place into our streets, into our city, around the world, bearing witness to the good news of the gospel. So may it be our prayer that this be our Pentecost. Not because we have printed it on our bulletin, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what God continues to do in us and through us by the ministry of His Holy Spirit as we surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and embrace and welcome that power of God, and so lose control. To the honor and glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Spirit, you birthed the church long ago, birth in us that same desire to live and serve you today. Come, Spirit, come. Through Christ our Lord, we pray it. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Kick off your summer excitement at the 2022 Tab Jams Concert Series. Experience the return of NBC's winner of The Voice, Mr. Josh Kaufman, along with singer, actress, and Sunday's best contestant, legendary Miss Opal Staples. Sunday, June 12th, 6 p.m. at the Tab Presbyterian Church, 418 East 34th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana. All concerts are free and open to the public. Bring a lawn chair and meet some new friends at the 2022 Tab Jams Concert Series. Building a strong community through music.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship on Sunday at 8 and 10 a.m. If you can't join us in person, listen to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30, right here on WIBC.